Welcome to Is This Real Life? A Bravo podcast that relates our favorite shows to our own lives and the world around us. I'm your host, Mandy Slutsker. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. I hope you had a good week. Well, I was off last week, and a lot of Bravo chaos has happened. I mean, so many news-breaking stories. We've got Candy leaving Atlanta after 14 seasons. I mean, she is one of my absolute favorite housewives. She's such a boss. She's so brilliant. I'm so proud of everything she's accomplished in her life and how smart she's been about housewives and utilizing it to continue to build her brand and all of her businesses. And I really hope we get to see her win an EGOT one day. Portia is now back now that Candy is gone. And you know, I'm here for it. It'll be interesting to see her married life. And I don't know, maybe this opens the door for Phaedra. I feel like Phaedra's just going from, you know, Bravo show to Peacock, Traitors, and back to a different Bravo show. She's been on Ultimate Girls Trips. She's been on Married to Medicine. Like, she's kind of sprinkled everywhere except Atlanta. And I know what she did was so, so, so terrible by accusing Candy and Todd of raping and attempting to drug and rape Portia when that was not true. Terrible, right? Like, she went way too far. But I can't help but love that woman. Watching her on Traitors, I mean, is that my toxic trait, liking Phaedra Parks? Maybe, maybe. We've got Winter House officially on pause. I actually think that's a good idea. The way it all has been airing has been so confusing because we watch Winter House and it's after Summer House airs, but then we've got they film Summer House again. It's just like all the timelines are really confusing, and we've got Summer House premiering this coming week, and that's what I'm really looking forward to. I'm so interested to see how everything unfolds. And then there's Vanderpump Rules. So guys, we did it. Anne, the assistant, has a write-up in the New York Times. I still laugh every time anything from Vanderpump Rules makes it to traditional media like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or CNN, because it's just so mind-boggling. I've been watching this show for 11 years now. I've loved this show. I've told everyone I know to watch this show, and most of them have ignored me. And then all of a sudden, they're like, what is this mayhem that's going on? Anne, guys, Anne made it. Sheena bought a new house, which is in the Valley. And part of me wonders if she's planning on potentially transitioning to the show The Valley if Vanderpump Rules eventually ends. Who knows? Who knows? But I don't know. I've been really enjoying Vanderpump Rules this season. The first episode was a little bit not disappointing. It's just I felt like we saw it play out almost in real time, and then watching it back, it's not as interesting. But now we're getting into the nitty gritty that I find fascinating, which is how has the scandal impacted people's mental health? How, like, what is it really like on the other side? You know, having Tom Sandoval open up about his struggles, I think, is really powerful. It's one of the first things I worried about when things, you know, it was clear that the Sandoval, you know, craziness was not dying down after a couple weeks. So I was like, oh God, what is this going to do to Tom? And, you know, it's a lot. And so wanted to give a trigger warning that towards the very end of this episode, Tom Hamlet and I do discuss what was talked about on the show, which is Tom having suicidal thoughts. So if that is something you do not want to listen to, as we get farther into the Vanderpump conversation, just, you know, turn off the podcast. All right, guys, quick note, I was on Pink Shade this past week. So if you want to hear me again, talk about Vanderpump Rules and Beverly Hills and all kinds of things, it's actually the episodes that I did not recap for this podcast because I was on vacation. So go ahead to Pink Shade and check that out. So my guest today is Tom Hamlett. He is one half of the Dumpster Dive podcast. He is so funny. We had such a great time. We talk about Beverly Hills and Miami and Vanderpump Rules, and I think you guys will really enjoy. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, go ahead, give it a 5-star rating and leave a kind review. And if you don't enjoy the podcast, you don't have to listen. if you want to tell me why, you can reach out to me on Instagram at Mandy Slutsker. Or if you have any thoughts, especially about Marcus and Larsa, I'm very confused at this. I don't understand the art of the paparazzi photos. So I don't quite get like the following, unfollowing, refollowing, being seen with like jewelry. Like, I'm like, what is happening? I can't keep track. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and then back with Tom.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hi, everyone. I am here with none other than Tom Hamlett from the Dumpster Dive podcast. We have him fresh a week into having the flu. He is back and ready to go. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing good. I'm feeling much better. Today's a great day, actually, though, because so Kix, my sister, who, if you those listening don't know, I host a Dumpster Dive with my sister. Today she just moved in right next to me. She's my neighbor now.
I'm so jealous. I would love my neighbor to live next to me.
I say next to me, she's like a block away, but like
same.
In New York that's next to you, so
everywhere that's next to you.
Yeah, which is, we're very excited. We've always lived, for the most part, we've always lived very close to each other since we've been in the city, except for the past like 2 years she's been in Brooklyn and I've
been in Astoria.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I'm sure to move out here, so it's a great day.
Well, I am hoping to make my way to New York maybe sometime in late May. So I will let you guys know.
Yes,
because
please.
We have to meet up for those martinis didn't get to have when I was there last time.
I know. Yeah. So Manny and I try to meet up every time she's here, but the last time she came in, you didn't come in. Right? You were sick.
No. You were sick. Yeah, you had COVID,
I think. I was sick. Yes, I got COVID. I couldn't remember one of those. The world was working against us that day.
Yeah. And like Donnie was supposed to meet up, but his door came off the hinge.
Oh my God, that was that trip too? Oh my God. Yes, we have to do martinis, please.
He sent a picture of the door and it like didn't fit the frame. And I didn't want to laugh.
Oh my God.
They
put like a bedroom door on his front door. It's crazy. And he lived like that for like months. I think 6 months.
That's such a New York story.
That is what it's like living here, honestly.
Oh, but what a wonderful city it is.
I know. I do love it.
Well, I thought we would dive in and start with Beverly Hills. I don't know about you. I'm actually loving this season. I feel like it's lighter. and it doesn't feel, I don't know, like there's not this negative energy. And I can only attribute it to Lisa Rinna being gone.
No, it's Rinna. I think it's also a little bit of Kathy not being there.
Oh, you're so right.
Kathy is funny, but she brings in a dark cloud because of like her relationship with Kyle. And just, I think she intimidates some of the women a bit too much. Like people don't feel super comfortable around her. And then also, yeah. And then Lisa Rinna, I agree. I have loved this season. And I usually am so hard on these ladies, especially when there's a season where not much happens. But for some reason, the not much happening here was more intriguing than usual. I think because it was refreshing to see them all seemingly actually want to like hang out with each other.
And
like they were like having fun laughing together at this party. And also it's fun that there's a mutual character that they all are like, who is this girl?
Wait, with Anne Marie?
Yeah, like they all pretty universally are like, who the fuck is she? So like, so this party was so fun because they're all sitting there like, this is crazy.
It was so funny as like each one would come in, she would introduce this person to like the friends, but mm-hmm. they obviously all know who these people are because the friends likely watch Beverly Hills too.
Right. Or you just know? Like, no, I mean, it's the show that everyone, if you don't know Bravo, you know Beverly Hills.
Right.
So
I loved this Diamonds and Champagne brunch. It was so fun to see everyone laughing. I miss it. It's almost like they also didn't realize they liked each other. You know,
I agree. Like, oh. They're like, oh, wait.
Like these girls are fun when they were all trying to eavesdrop on Anna Marie and Crystal. And, like, you know, they're all watching and they're like, oh, they had a hug. They had a hug. You know, it was fun. It was light. It even when Erica confronted them about feeling that they had kind of gone after her really harshly the last few years, it still didn't feel as dark as because she doesn't feel as dark, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, what did you make of that?
I agree. There's just everyone overall has a lightness to them right now, you know? I'm not sure what I equate that to, but Erica, I think with Erica, even though she is staunch in her crazy beliefs about where she's at with her sister, like with the ring, like the earrings, right?
Yeah.
It's still not as like, because she doesn't have someone on her team really there, like Rinna was, who would just like fight for her for no reason. She feels a bit more understanding of like their point of view on it. And also she's being so vulnerable about asking for things from her friends too. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's softer because before she was so defensive that like she wouldn't give you an inch. And now she's given a mile. Like she's like, listen, like this was really tough on me. I'm sorry for how I behaved towards all of you. And then later at the end, because she started with an apology this season.
Yeah.
And then it ended with like, part of me wants an apology from some of you. I loved how Sutton did apologize because Sutton was like, I was real tough on you and I did not let up. And I see that impacted you negatively and I really am sorry. And I think that meant so much to see Erica cry. She's not someone who does that very often. So that was really nice. I also liked how Garcelle like stood her ground and was like, I said what I said, you know, the funniest thing.
It didn't seem like Erica was mad at her for that, you know?
No, she was just like, I hear you. But the best part for me was when Dorit, like, she took it so personally as if it was all about her, as if it was only said to her. And it's just the most Dorit thing ever. It's like she's saying this to the group.
I can't stand Dorit, truly.
I find her funny.
I don't. I'm like, I find her so phony. I don't feel like we're getting, I don't, the way she hears things. Kind of like Lisa Barlow. When she hears like a sentence, she inserts her name in the middle of the sentence, like where her name was not brought up. Like she just constantly, she can make any argument, any point, anything to be an attack on her or a like assault on her character or like it's just like, girl, you have to give this a rest. It's not about you here.
Sometimes it gets very annoying, but I also like Lisa Barlow. And I think it's the like that type of person.
I do like Lisa Barlow.
Who yeah. is unrelentingly themselves and such a narcissist, but like an unaware narcissist. Like they have no mm-hmm. idea that they're the problem. And I find mm-hmm. that funny.
Like, yeah, it's amazing to watch.
Like, wait, so this is how you interpret, like to watch what goes on in their brain is so like fascinating to me. And I just, I don't know, mm-hmm. I get humor out of it.
I agree. There are aspects of it that are funny. I think with Dorit, I get frustrated because there's parts of her that are guarded to me that bother me.
Yeah, I think this season was not great for her, but what I would love is to actually see a season of her where she's honest about her relationship with PK not being great. And I feel like now with Kyle and Mauricio being open about a separation, that will open the door for her to also share her experience in her marriage, which mm-hmm. I feel like has greatly changed since the break-in and the, you know, burglary.
Yeah, where is he? Like, so, what is he doing? And also, his comment about her on Mother's Day, I would have slapped the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is, you are celebrating, if you are married to the mother of your children. Married. If the person you had children with is here and it's Mother's Day, you celebrate them because they are a mother to your children. Like, I don't really understand how you can't. That was crazy to me. I was like, this is diabolical.
It is. And he also said something, I think, about how like in his country, when he grew up, like Mother's Day isn't as big of a thing. Did I make that up?
Yeah, he said that. But I was like, what is that? Like,
so
okay.
Mother's Day in the UK. But what frustrates me is like you live in the United States primarily and you are raising your children in the United States. So get with the program. It's a big deal here. Stop using excuses. Like if she was on the same page as him, it's different, but she's not. Right.
No, but also it's not it's not like the kids are one and two. Like the daughter is like the older daughter is probably like seven. This is like her seventh Mother's Day. Like
it's not like this is the first time. You're right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this isn't like a learning curve because it's his first Mother's Day.
But I also find PK hilarious. Like
I do love PK.
Like a made up character, you know, like a Scrooge McDuck kind of thinks that he's so smart and outsmarting everyone, but he keeps getting hit with these tax liens. So, like, are you really the smart one? Like, he's so shady.
He's so shady. And I'm nervous I feel like we're going to continue to learn some things about the business ventures that he is involving himself in over the next, I don't know, 5 years.
Yeah, I agree. Got to talk about Kyle and Mauricio. So I feel like they agreed to live separate lives and separate long before this episode. And they just haven't. And what I think, what I base that off of is the preview for next week where they tell their daughters, we've tried to kind of shield you from this. Meaning that they've had some sort of conversations where it's been clear, like, I don't know if they're sharing a bedroom, you know, where they used to. Like, I think there's been things that have been happening. And I think they've been acting to try and like fit some sort of timeline or narrative that Kyle wants to be shown on screen. I don't think she's been as upfront. I understand where she's coming from, but we haven't been brought along for like the ride the way that we have with other marriages ending mm-hmm. and on, you know, of other people on these shows. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, yes, it does. I do. I'm pretty sure, though, that they picked up cameras for a little bit. I think those scenes are months after the the season wraps. So I think there are more decisions that in conversations that went down after like the season wrapped, because I think the finale ends at the white party, and then I think we're going to get like a 3 months later Chiron, and then it's going to be that scene of them with the girls.
So I'm thinking of the timeline. So Mother's Day is the second weekend in May, and then I'm assuming the finale was like that week after, so like mid-May, and then it was the end of June when all of the crazy paparazzi stories about Kyle and Morgan Wade came up. And then over the 4th of July, they announced their separation. So that's only 6 weeks. So I'm like, okay, did you make that decision in June? Like when, you know, how long did these kids not know? I don't know. The whole thing is, I felt like, or maybe she waited until the cameras wrapped to...
I think that's what happened. To be like, we're getting it. Like, because
this isn't working. Yeah.
She's savvy. She knows what to do. Every time cameras are up, she has a plan. And I think that she, excuse me, I think she knew that she wanted out, but didn't want to do all of that on camera because it's not worth, it's worth protecting her family for. So, I mean, she looks so uncomfortable around him. She looks like her decision has been made for a while, when they're sitting at that bar, just like loosely holding hands. I don't know. It's very weird. It does not feel real at all to me. But do you think he cheated?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I definitely think he did.
I think he cheated, but I think he's always cheated and she's kind of always looked the other way. But then this time something was different with who he cheated with or how he did it. I don't know exactly. It feels different. But I don't even think that was the sort of straw that broke the camel's back. I think it's him not being there for her when her friend died and not prioritizing her, and then just so obviously prioritizing expansion of the agency over and over and over again, and just not even... But she's also so passive-aggressive. She won't actually tell him what she needs, even if he asks, right? Like, she wants him to just inherently know. And maybe he should by now. Maybe after 27 years of marriage, a partner should know what their, you know, person needs. But he seems so oblivious. He seems to, like, not know what's happening. He seems to think, like, oh, we've always had this marriage where, like, you're my rock, my ride or die. But I, like, you know, dabble on the side and it's fine. Mm-hmm. And you do whatever you want and you get to buy whatever you want. You know, like, that's this agreement. And then all of a sudden, now you're not okay with the agreement is sort of, he, I think, was caught off guard.
Sure. I think you're definitely onto something there. But maybe he has had this reflection, but something tells me he hasn't. The agency's success would be nowhere without Kyle.
His 100%.
His success in real estate would be nowhere without Kyle.
Because there'd be no Rick the only Hilton.
The only reason he got a job in real estate was because Kyle got him a job working for Rick Hilton. And then the only reason the agency is successful is because we all watch the television program that they're on where we learned about the agency.
Yeah, like, it was, yes, 100%.
She's been plugging the agency since like season 2 or 3, whenever he launched it, of Beverly Hills. So I'm like, you owe everything to this woman for this business. And it just feels like he doesn't respect her for that. Like, I don't know. There's just something about him not being present on the show. I'm like, when cameras are up, you should be doing whatever your wife asks you to, because like your business, like this empire that you're living on, would not be here if it wasn't for this platform that she's created for you.
You're 100% right. 100% right. One thing that makes me a little sad is I watch Kyle and Sutton and I actually feel like they have a true friendship and they're really building it back up. And then at BravoCon at the panel, Kyle was sort of like implying she had to take steps back from Sutton's friendship. I'm assuming that's due to things Sutton has said since her and Mauricio's separation came to light, but I don't know. I'm kind of like, everyone seems to be...
That does bum me out. I didn't know that.
It really bums me out. Yeah, they're just like... But then just today, because I go on Instagram before I record, because I usually miss so many big things. I saw that Kyle has a new puppy. And
The last thing that woman needs is a new dog. She's got too many dogs. She's been trained.
This dog is so cute, though. And so Sutton like commented on the, so I was like, who's commenting on this, right? Like, who is she still in good graces with? But then I also don't really understand Instagram etiquette. Like, I don't know, because me and my real life friends like talk in real life, we're not like on each other's socials really. And most of my friends aren't big on social media. Like, they don't post that much. So I don't understand, like, when you're famous, do you like have to comment on each other's? So like, I don't understand, like, who takes the time to is it like a bad sign if you don't like a post from your close? Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
I think it's, or is it performative? I think you're reading too much into that. Okay. That side. I think it's just like, I don't think it's performative. I think they just like saw it on Instagram. Also, old people, like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, comments. I don't understand the, like,
no, but old people just comment on things. So like Sutton's just scrolling and she just writes, "Oh my God," and then scrolls and probably writes something else and something else. You know, I don't think it's like a calculated.
Kathy's like, "Rick, call me."
Yeah. Oh my God. Those are the best. No, well, I feel like with Sutton and Kyle that Sutton loves her vodka. And I worry she just sits and like says shit sometimes. Like, in the, she does sit and say shit in those, in the interview chairs. And so Kyle probably watched her after what, like there's no way she's not drinking one of those vodka and grapefruit juices while she's filming these confessionals.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's one that she said that did not rub her the right way. I'm sure she said something in the press about their breakup or on Watch What Happens Live that probably bothered Kyle.
But then she needs to come out and say that she was bothered, why she was bothered, and why does the end of her marriage have to be handled with kid gloves, but everyone else's problems, they just need to be honest. You know?
Yeah, well, she's always, Kyle's always a hypocrite when it comes to especially her personal life.
Yeah.
She protects so much of her own stuff, but doesn't have any sort of boundaries on where she'll go with other people's drama.
We shall see. Well, speaking of marriages ending, let's talk about Miami.
Larsa?
Well, I was thinking Lisa and Lenny, because it's still ongoing. I would say Larsa ongoing. And
Marcus, because now they're engaged.
Are they?
Oh, did you not see that?
I saw, because I did my scrolling, that they like were spotted on Valentine's Day and she was wearing white and
so
had
they
some
broke
sort
up
ring.
On Super Bowl Sunday.
Okay. And he like because, posted a picture with his dad.
Yeah, like he was with his dad and then, I don't know. They broke up and then they were seen together on Valentine's Day. And then yesterday she called the Pap and the paparazzi showed up and took photos of her. I say she called them because who's taking photos of Larsa walking around Miami? Like, no one. So the paparazzi show up, take photos of her, and she is like, candidly, quote, I'm using quote, oh my God, look at the balloons. Okay, this is happening at work. I don't know what it is, but like, look.
Oh, now confetti. There's confetti.
I know, I don't know. Quote, unquote. Happened to capture her with her hand just like on her chest, and she has a wedding ring on. She has an engagement ring on,
and it's on that, like the hand.
Yeah, it's on her left.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
So the rumors now are they broke up, got back together, and they got engaged. She is too much for me.
It's performance art at its finest.
She's such a fucking loser. I can't stand her.
So she's someone like in the love to hate. And I don't mean actual hate, but like for me, she is the perfect villain. She like says all the wrong things. She riles me up. And then she cuddles up to Gertie in that church and wins me back for like 3 seconds. And then immediately after, I'm like, what on earth is wrong with you? Like, she's so interesting to me because like, especially at the end of this episode, I know we're jumping all over, but when the women confront her about how there are stories all over the press about Michael Jordan not approving of Larsa dating his son, Marcus, she, it's like the best media trained person. Like, she just won't engage with it. And you can't convince her that it's true. It's why it's insane to watch, but no, she's so good at it. She like makes you question whether, like, did I read this?
It's that Kardashian brain. I'm serious. She learned some things from Kris when she was living in Calabasas with the girls on whatever season that was of the Kardashians she was on. I think she just like knows how to get ahead of stuff, and she can justify anything that she does.
But it's like so many of these things are unjustifiable, particularly screaming at someone with cancer, like that kind of stuff.
She doesn't need long to justify either. I think she can literally come up with it on the top of her head and be like, well, no, I did that because you said this. And it's like, how are you so diabolical that you can't, you will go through hoops to justify bad behavior before just saying like, I'm sorry.
It's interesting to watch. Trying to remember back when this actually came out, and I knew it was big because my dad said something. And my dad, the three things I think he's ever said to me about Bravo, one is he called me to ask why if Stassi was racist and if I need to reconsider naming my dog. Two was about Scandoval. He had seen that, and which means it made the Wall Street Journal because that's the only paper he like reads front to back. And the third was this. He said, oh my gosh, like, you know, because he follows sports and Michael Jordan, and it made it into like Sports Illustrated or something. There was some story about it. And he's like, wait, Michael Jordan's son is dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife? I'm like, yeah. And they're on your favorite show, The Real Housewives of Miami. Which he does like. He, when he walks in the room, he goes, because he gets excited every time he sees Martina.
Oh really? Oh yeah, my dad, when I told my dad that Martina was on, he was like, you know who she is? I'm so proud.
Oh, my dad just walked in while me and my stepmom were watching, and he goes, oh my god, that's Martina Navratilova. And he just like went on about all of her stats and all of these, like, you know, championships that she won, and you know. It's very sweet. Well,
I also, though, on the side of Marcus, something about Marcus that bothers me, and like, I'm someone who is easy to forgive, but I don't forget. And if I was in his circle, like, or in his family, there's something about him essentially just like betraying his family by being with your dad's like rival's ex-wife, like as a partner. Like, I'm like, that's just something to me that is like kind of, it crosses such a line, like as a son more than it does as an ex-wife. Like, for him, I'm like, your dad, you wouldn't be anywhere without the success of your father. Like, you get to live a lavish lifestyle because your dad is Michael Jordan. Like you owe him respect to like not have to put him in the same kind of like the same breath as Scottie Pippen, someone who he doesn't like anymore. You know, I'm not saying I'm anti Scottie Pippen. I just mean like,
yeah,
I would never like go out of my way to betray my family member.
But do you think he did it on purpose? Weird.
Well, I don't think he. I don't know that he did it on purpose, but I just
dad, you know.
I don't think it was malicious, but if it doesn't cross your mind that it's not a good idea, that's like a character flaw. Like, that's weird.
Same with Larsa, right? Like, I think if it doesn't cross your mind that you met this person when they were under 18, like that I think if you meet someone for like 10 minutes and they're 10 years old and like 20 years later you marry them, that's still creepy to me. Like, you met this person when they were a minor. That's gross.
I didn't think about that. She did meet him. We know that. Yes.
They didn't spend a lot of time together, but she had met him.
Okay. I've never thought about that. And that is weird.
And he was a child. Like,
that's a child.
That's a child. If it was the other way around and Larsa was 8 years old, 13 years old, whatever it is, when she met Marcus and he was the adult, like the older one, I would think it was creepy and borderline like I don't know. It's just
right. No,
it
I mean,
weirds me out. Something similar happened this week. David Foster posted, I think, a picture of him and Catherine McPhee for Valentine's Day, but it was when they first met, and I think she was on American Idol and possibly under 18. And I'm like, this is gross. Like, I don't. It's different when people have an age gap and they meet over age 18, you know? Like Tom and Erica Girardi, you know, like.
Sure. Like Erica was a stripper. Tom was like on lunch break. Like, yeah. That's okay.
It's, I don't know. Like, he didn't meet her when she was under 18. Like, it just, it weirds me out. Am I the only one? Am I like too sensitive?
No,
about
it
this?
Does. No, it does. It's totally bizarre. I don't. The teammate aspect and then like her being around teammates. Kids and then later being with one, I never put all those pieces together in my brain. In my brain, like, they had never interacted.
And I don't think they had a lot of interaction, right? But there's no world in which they weren't at the games at the same time and crossing, like, the family members. It's not like a football team, it's a basketball team. There's not that many players.
I know, you're right.
The families know each other.
Was Larsa like with Scotty through like the Bulls like yes. hype? Like through like the when they were like everyone, the most famous team in the world.
Yes.
I didn't know if she was with him like after the
maybe it was partway was through. Or, yeah. But she was like 21 when she met him, I think.
Oh really?
Yeah, she was very young and she had been with him. They've been together 23 years.
Damn. Well, you know, what would be, I don't know, because her son is now in the NBA, right?
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, he just got drafted. Do they do drafts in the NBA? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's in the NBA, the oldest one. And I'm like, if he hooked up with someone in the Jordan family, how would she feel about that? Like, or
she'd
like,
be like, happy family. She'd be like, that makes Thanksgiving plan easier.
I don't get it.
I don't know. I think she, it's just like, her brain just works differently. Like, she doesn't think of the things that you and I think of, and the things she does think of are things you and I would never consider. Like, she's just cut from a different cloth. Like, she's just a different kind of person. She's yeah. desperate to be relevant. She writes her own narrative and she believes it. I really think she believes most of what she says, which is why it's so like cringe when she brought everyone to her tequila distillery, which I feel like should be called a tequillery.
No, please though, not a tequillery.
That's what I wrote down when I was taking notes and I was like, is that even a thing? Didn't realize I combined the words. And she brings them all there and she's like, it's just so important that you guys support me because I work really hard. And like, it just, to be honest, doesn't seem like that much work. Like, it's just like,
no,
like, right? Like, you've been.
I had actually more respect for her work with the OnlyFans because that is hard.
Right,
work.
That is. You have to post every day.
You yeah, and interact all with the time. People.
Yes, that is a ton of work. This, going down to Mexico every few months, tasting things and having a couple days of meetings is not the same as like a grind. And mm-hmm. and then she says all this work. And then I love when Alexi is like, we all work hard. Because they do. And not everyone, I mean, fucking Dr. Nicole works 24-hour shifts at the hospital and then takes comes and films a red eye to film. Show. And never yeah, bitches.
I know. No, never. I don't know. I don't understand how that woman has time to be doing all the things she does. It doesn't make sense to me, Nicole. I'm like, how are you able to be here? Like, and not be, and she's always down to have fun too. I'm like, I would be exhausted. Like, in yeah. my bed, binging some sort of British detective series. Like I'm sorry, I wouldn't be out and about on vacations when on the days I'm not working. I don't understand how she does it.
So I asked her this at BravoCon. Mm-hmm. I like met her at one of these cocktail things, and I was like, I don't understand how you're able to work your job. How do you even make time for filming? And she said that she has been working at that same hospital since residency. Mm-hmm. She was the chief resident, which is a big deal if you've all watched Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And she's gained a lot of trust from her employers. And so when this opportunity came up, she was like, during these 3 months of filming, can I change my schedule? You know, it doesn't mean that it's going to always work out, right? Like, she still has shifts, but fewer mm-hmm. shifts than she does during the rest of the year. And I also think that when you live that life, you get used to it. Like, when you're a resident, it feels like you get so little sleep. You're always running on fumes. Now that she's just like a practicing anesthesiologist, for her, it probably feels so much easier than residency. And then, yeah, but she's like a superhuman to me. Mm-hmm. Like a superhuman.
And we're also forgetting another aspect, a mom. Like,
yep. And pregnant right now.
Mom. And she's pregnant. I'm like, what? How?
Yeah. I think she's just like a superior human being. She can just, you know how some people can just do a lot and don't need a lot of sleep?
Yeah.
I'm not that person.
I don't need a lot of sleep. Like, oh, I can hang on like 5 hours forever if I needed to. You're like kicks though. My sister, she needs a full, I'm going to out her history in therapy for a moment, but it's not that serious. Don't worry, everyone. She had a therapist one time tell her. Well, because she was saying she sleeps like 10 to 11 hours sometimes at night.
Oh, that's like a lot.
No, that's a lot. And she had a therapist say to her one time, do you think maybe like we should just kind of like actually kind of pull back on the sleeping? Because she was like, because she was talking about how she doesn't have time to like relax at night, or doesn't have time to do this for herself. And she's like, well, something you are making time for is sleep. So I think you could have maybe kind of like subtract a couple hours and kind of divvy those hours elsewhere.
Like, when I think of like a good night's rest, it's 9 hours. That's like good, right? That's not what I get every day, but that's like be my ideal, right? And every day it's more like a 7 to 8, right? But I really prioritize it because less than 7, like especially less than 6, for me, my eye starts twitching. Like, when I don't get enough, I'm one of those people that get those twitches. And like,
I get them too, yeah.
You know, and then, I don't know, I just don't feel good. I have no energy.
Oh, yeah.
Coffee doesn't work. Good. Like, mm-hmm. It's just, my whole body is just like, go back to bed.
No, I became good at it was because I taught spin for so long that you would teach at night and then you would get home. Like, I would teach like a 6:30 and a 7:30 class. And then by the time that's over, you get home at like 9 or 9:30 and you're wired because you have to eat, but you're also wired because you've been like on and like at a 10 and you're not tired. So then you're up until like 12 or 12:30 at least. And then I would have to teach at 7 a.m. the next morning. Yeah. And so then you wake up at 5 and you're just like, you just kind of figure it out.
Yeah, it's like parents, right? Like having a newborn, you don't like sleep for more than, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and a half at a time. And you just get by, right? On fumes. But yeah, it's shout out to all the parents of small children because that sounds
the parents tough. And working moms, you know, I mean, moms in general are superheroes to me.
Yeah.
But moms who are able to prioritize so much on their plate, I don't know how you do it. They're rock stars. So
yeah, I do think Dr. Nicole has a lot of support from her mother with her mm-hmm. son. Like her mom, definitely. Like when she's away, her husband takes care of her son, but her mom is also around, right? Because her husband works and maybe can't do the like 3 or 4 p.m. pickup from school or whatever it is. And mm-hmm. yeah, she's incredible. Wanted to get to Lisa. And just how she's come across this season. Are you over her whining about Lenny? Are you like, what do you make of her new relationship? How she interacts with the women? Like, where are you at on this?
Yeah, I'm kind of in a place where, I support women, and I am team women getting out of toxic relationships. Okay. But I'm sorry. Lenny has been a dick forever, and it's hard to have sympathy for her. So where she's constantly surprised at the ways that he's fucking her over. Like, this is a man who essentially kind of refused to have children with you, and you for so long, like, they didn't have children until the show stopped. She was having fertility issues, but then he was like, there was some ultimatums, I think, in there. Yeah. And like he was just a dick about it is right. Kind of my point there. Yeah. So it's like, and then lights, camera, action, we're filming again. He looks like he loathes you all of that first season, like that he's filming with you. And then you guys split up in such a disgusting, awful way. It's just like, I don't know how you can continue to be so surprised at the ways that he's going to treat you so poorly. Like, she frustrates me because she has people willing to help her not be so helpless, mm-hmm. but it's clear that she's still so dependent on him in a way that makes her hard to root for in a way. I don't know if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I know that he's the father of her children, so she has to be dependent on him forever because, like, that is the situation. But she just, I don't know, when you're around someone so bad, like Lenny is, for so long, you can't help but, like, also get some bad traits in you. And I hope that her privilege around this whole trip to Mexico City, where she's talking about the way people live, I'm like, this, you are disgusting. Like, this is, yeah. It's really tough to watch. The stuff she was saying about the dogs and the people that were living, I'm like, you have really never seen the world. Like, you've never, like, gone out of your bubble, and you've been coddled. You've been coddled forever by Lenny and by others. And when Larsa said to her, what's her new boyfriend's name?
Jody.
She was like, if Jody leaves you, you have nothing. which made me cackle, because I'm like, that's your best friend. She just, like, dragged you into, like, the gutter. But, like, I want her to find something of her own, you know? And she's so dependent on these men. It's hard. Right. Oh, how could I forget? There is a perfume happening. But it's like, it's hard to root for her because she's so dependent on these men. And she says this awful shit.
Yeah, she has sort of a learned helplessness. And it was really illuminating to me when Nicole came into her room and they were able to bond over having troubled relationships with their fathers growing up. And mm-hmm. we find out, because I've always been so curious about Lisa's upbringing. I mean, we know she's from Canada. We know she's not close with her family. But we don't know much else, right? Like, yeah. They never show up in filming. And finally, next week, we see her mom. But she has been dependent on a man since age 17, since she had a boyfriend who she then moved in with his family. And then after that, there was another man. And eventually, there was Lenny. Like, she's never done it on her own, and it's almost like she doesn't believe she can. And even now, the agreement of where she's living, it's, you know, I don't know if they're still going to build this house that they talked about, but she's living in a place that is $32,000 a month, $17,000 I believe is paid by Lenny, and $15,000 by Jody. I don't believe she actually contributes. And some people are like, oh my God, that's amazing. She got her ex and her current boyfriend fund her lifestyle. Like, queen, slay. Like,
I don't think it's slay, y'all.
That's not, that's awful.
You don't have anything.
Why can't you live within your means? And I think the part that's hard to relate to is that she doesn't seem so sad about losing him. She's upset about losing the lifestyle. And so, mm-hmm. you know, when you watch Sutton talk about the dissolution of her marriage, it seems as though she's upset about, like, losing the person that she felt was family, right? And it's a breakup of a family, and it's her feeling helpless and all this stuff, and other relationships falling apart. Like with Kyle, you can tell she's had this long, like Mauricio and her had such a connection, and they were so good about raising their daughters together. You know, they miss what it used to be. I don't get that from Lisa. I don't get like that she's sad about the breakup of the family. I get that she's upset about the change, potential change in lifestyle. She's more threatened by that than she is actually losing a husband.
Yeah, that's how I think feel. You nailed it. I think you nailed it. But it's a bad look. It doesn't look, she doesn't come across, you don't come across rooting for her. And that would like, I think she thinks, she's like, I just want everyone rooting for me. Like I need people on my team. And I'm like, well, you don't really make it that easy or fun to be on your team because like you don't acknowledge the privilege you have and you're not willing to like make sacrifices. It doesn't seem like you're willing to make sacrifices for just the wellness of your family. Like get an apartment. You're on a television show. You're on a television show and you get money from Lenny, right? You can get an apartment on your own and live and start to create a new normal for you and your family. But you living at like you half living with Jody and then the kids living with Lenny and then it's just like your kids are hearing all of this, unfortunately. And like even though they're not like old enough to fully understand it. Like I don't know. It's just, I just want her to do better for her family. She can. And she can. She has the resources to do better. So that's where it's hard to root for her.
Yeah. Her mentality is off. Like she views herself as a victim always. And yeah, she's a victim in this, right?
She is. Absolutely. Right?
But the mentality of being a victim keeps you a lot of times from being able to be empowered. Like, and if you think about Ariana, she's the victim of this cheating situation, yet she didn't let this victim mentality control her mind. Maybe it did for a couple months. And then she was like, okay, I can do this. I'm sure that wasn't fucking easy. You know, everyone's watching, everyone's judging every move you make. But if you view yourself as being helpless, you will be.
Yeah. And she wants to just... She goes on this vacation and she just sits and wants to be coddled. And it's like, well, babe, like, unfortunately, like everyone has a lot going on and like, you can't be everyone's little baby everywhere you go. Like we got to take care of ourselves here. And you're being a little bit of a selfish dick. So
I couldn't get over how Marisol told her, oh, I'm going to Scotland and we're going to renew our vows. And she's like, with who? And then she doesn't know Marisol's husband.
She doesn't know anything about these people. When Kiki was like, what's my kids' names? She literally saw a ghost. I bet you she was like, oh, I forgot she's a mom.
Right?
I mean, granted, we did not know
a
that she
was a single mom.
Doing
it on her own, not bitching, not saying like everyone deserves time to bitch. But it can't take up all the time of the whole group. That's just not fair.
And she's got to shut the fuck up about Lenny. Like, no one wants to hear about it.
It's also not good
helping
for
your situation. It's tough.
Well, speaking about...
Oh my God, you have so many notes.
I know, I do. Because otherwise I don't remember what happened.
Especially after a week of like mad TV, you're like, you have a dissertation in front of you. I've never seen anything like it. And you print it out.
I type it out. It's so pathetic. Otherwise,
look behind the curtain.
Mandy literally remember.
No, guys, I look behind the curtain. Mandy just turned a page and I saw a page of notes. She turned a page. So like we actually have multiple pages here. She types out notes and prints them out. So as an avid Is This Real Life listeners, she's doing the hard work for you. And she's one of the hardest working women I know.
I'm like crying. It's only when other people point things out that I'm like, wait, not everyone does this?
Well, no. I take loose notes. I'll be like, this was funny. Oh my God, I can't believe she ordered a margarita with something in it. And like, so I go in like that.
I'm such a like DC type A person. But what's crazy is that in my group of friends, I'm like the type B. Like, if that tells you about how people in DC are, like, people are on time. Everyone like opens their calendar and it's completely up to date. Like, it's just
your friends sound scary.
It's just the people. No, they're not. They're like fun. But
no, I'm kidding.
Best but people to go on vacation with, because one person will make all the decisions, will like have a complete itinerary and just tell you how much you owe.
That's I am that person of my friends where like I'm the planner for everything.
I'm not. Because there are people like who are better at it, who are like so like more than I am. And I think I'm that person. But DC is a city of those people. We're insane.
I actually think I would like living in DC, to be honest.
I think you would. It's fun. It's so fun. And I mean, it's got a great like gay scene, like specifically gay men. It's not as much like a lesbian city, but like the gay male scene is great. Like, it's got theater, it's got good food, it's got music venues that are cool. Like, the people aren't as crazy as one would think. We know how to laugh at ourselves usually, especially once you reach a certain age. Like, people in their 20s in DC take themselves too seriously because every third person thinks they're going to be president, you know? And then eventually they realize it's like not going to happen. And then they chill out a little more. I think you'd like
it. Yeah, no, I've had fun every time I've been.
It's a good place. All right. So wanna end with Vanderpump Rules. I also don't even know if there was a new episode of Potomac this week because it was the Super
Bowl. I'm not
Bowl,
watching it this season.
And I kind of stopped because it got so bad.
I haven't spiritually left Austin yet. I'm still trapped in those episodes. So I'm very
behind. Chicken shit bingo.
I saw that. That was the last episode I saw, I think.
I do not blame you. Okay, so with Vanderpump Rules, what do you make of this like conversation between Tom and James Kennedy where Tom brings up 10 years ago that James betrayed Tom because he was with Kristen, and that was Tom's ex? I mean, in Tom's mind, he thinks what happened 10 years ago was worse. What no one keeps bringing up, and what I want to like shake the TV screen in, was like James was engaged to Rachel. Engaged.
Not only was he engaged to her, but Tom Sandoval paid for the engagement party. $15,000 he paid for out cash money out of pocket for his friend James Kennedy. So if my friend did that after I did fuck his ex-girlfriend 10 years ago, I would think my friend was likely over that I fucked his ex-girlfriend 10 years ago, because he's going out of his way to take care of me and my hopeful wife's engagement. So it's insane to me that he has no... He's similar to Larsa in that he can justify any behavior.
Yes.
And it's sociopathic. He has to let it. Also, James Kennedy was, I think, like 19 years old when he did what he's like talking 21. About.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you got to let it go, because like, we all did crazy stuff when we were kids. It's fucked up. And Kristen also was doing fucked up stuff. And like, you guys were all living a really crazy life that was not healthy. So you got to just move on from that. This was entirely avoidable. You went out of your way to fuck over your friends.
Yep,
with
I agree.
Rachel situation, scandal.
I can't get over the mentality that he has that Rachel is the one that abandoned him. And that's what Billy Lee says at this very, very sad birthday party.
Yeah, that's interesting, because She went away to go take care of her mental health, and you're saying that she
abandoned you.
Interesting. That does sound like something a narcissist would say. So,
and so I heard this, I think, sometime around BravoCon, but my friend Jody that I was at BravoCon with said that she met someone and I don't know why I believed this, like I just did, who was either at the Meadows, which is the mental health facility, with Rachel, or a family member of hers was there with Rachel, and said that Tom actually basically ended things with Rachel because when she decided to extend her treatment stay, like he wanted her to leave after 30 days. And I believed that because I'm like, he's saying, oh, I'm not drinking. I'm going to wait and have a drink with you when we get back. We're in this together. Like he lost.
That's also weird.
Right. Very odd. And then he thinks he's some sort of hero because he sent her a lamp that changes color when his lamp changes color. As if that is support.
That's something you do in like middle school.
I don't know. They seem to be very into lights. These them when they were
the kids. Yeah, they love lights. Different light
variations.
Galaxy
lights. And
ideally in the bedroom, lights.
So that was just, and I believed it back then. And then now that it's coming out that that is actually what happened, it's so interesting because so many times you hear these like rumors and you're not sure if they're true. But for whatever reason, when I heard that, I was like, that sounds accurate.
That sounds like him.
It sounds like him. And oh my gosh, just everything with him is so tough. We've got emo night. Are you someone who would go to an emo night?
No, but I also loved emo music, and I if an emo song came on like the radio, I would be like, oh my god, I was obsessed with My Chemical Romance. I get it. Like I'm someone who appreciates the genre, but I don't know that I want to go to an emo night. I'm not someone who wants to like be out and about in a mosh pit necessarily, but yeah. Like the music I get behind, and honestly, the emo version of Good as Gold really good.
It's so good.
Better.
When she gave out at BravoCon the vinyl of Good as Gold, it was only one song on that vinyl, by the way. And she was selling it for like $50.
For $50?
I think it was something absurd for one song. Like,
if you've ever purchased a record player or like played records like at a record, you think it's so, and it is cool. It's like a cool way to listen to music, but there is music that is like created for different types of audio, right? When you imprint music onto records or even on your phone, there are songs that have like spatial audio or have like different types of audio. But there are records that sound awful when you put them on playing a record. Like, for instance, if you played like Nicki Minaj Super Bass, it would sound crazy on a record player because it has these like synth things that like don't belong in that like medium.
Yeah,
like versus, so like I have to imagine Good as Gold sounds like almost nails on a chalkboard, like on a record player, because I don't think it's meant to translate it to that auditory medium.
That's such a good point, because the only songs and records I've ever heard on a record player are like Crosby, Stills and Nash and the Beatles.
Yeah, but even like, you know, I'm trying to think of like, what's a good example of like a current, like if you took some like Kacey Musgraves album, I'm sure that sounds beautiful on like a record player. Morgan Wade. But if you took like Beyonce Renaissance and played it on a record player, it would sound crazy because there's like so much production behind it that it's not entirely the point of the record player.
Right. That's such an interesting point.
So just paying $50 to listen to like, just like synth screaming and screeching on a record player is diabolical of Sheena.
The word for this episode is just diabolical.
Diabolical. I said it a lot.
But it's true. That's what we're witnessing. How do you feel about season 11 of Vanderpump Rules? We've been doing this for a while. You know, where are you at? Like, what do you think about this season? I can tell you what I think, but.
I don't know where we go from here, certainly. Like, I don't know what in God's name could be after this. And they need, I think it was a big misstep to not introduce some new faces into this season, because like you need, we because there's no new faces, we're only going to be talking about Scandoval the whole time.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to be talking about. There's going to be no other fun drama. I mean, we have this impending drama, I guess, about Sheena and Schwartz making out in Vegas like 10 years ago, but it's like, You had to go into the docket of like old things you did that you never told anyone to create drama because like I'm worried there's nothing else going on. So I think they pigeonholed themselves into this one thing, and we're gonna have to watch Scandoval play out for a whole other, you know, 16 episodes that is not gonna provide any new information for us. I don't know. I've loved the show. Last season was very good. Even without, if you took Scandoval out of it, I think they did a good job in general. Yes. Like it was a good season. But like season 8 and 9 are nearly unwatchable. And like, I just think we're back into that mix again.
I think you're right about the future of the show. But for the now of the show, this third episode that we saw, it was my favorite.
Things happening.
And yeah. For me, the reason that it was my favorite is that we're talking about things that I had previously kind of heard rumblings about, but mainly from having to seek out that information from podcasts. And, you know, sometimes I hear stories and I'm like, why isn't that on the show? And a great example is things going on in Tom Schwartz's life with his family. We have seen his brothers on the show. We've heard that there are things going on with his brothers. And it wasn't until this episode that he really opened up about what's going on, how serious it is, how it's impacting him. Like, that's what I actually want to hear about. You know, and I also was after about the first 2 weeks of the Scandoval thing, I started getting very concerned about Tom and Rachel's mental health. I was like, this is what would drive someone to hurt themselves. The amount of negative attention, the unrelenting amount, the vitriol from fans who act as vigilantes because they feel like they have to restore some sort of sense of like who's right and wrong in the world. I cannot imagine being on the receiving end of hate from everyone and then it being a top story on CNN.com. Like, that is so crazy. And to be able to actually hear what it was like for him is actually what I wanted to know. It doesn't.
I agree.
He did okay. It's just I wanted to hear what his experience was with it, not him giving excuses of why it happened. How was his experience with the scandal unfolding?
Yeah, I agree. I do think that is interesting. I it's not that I don't believe him that he was struggling. I just it's hard for me because he's so manipulative that I worry that I hope in my heart that he would never like manipulate people by saying things like that, because there are people that suffer from mental health is so scary. And like, I just pray that he's not using this as some sort of like, look at me, like my life is hard too, sort of point of view, you know? And like, that was my only red flag that went up during that conversation that he had with Lisa, where he was talking about that. I think it's important that we listen to him and hear how he is dealing with this. Cause I agree. I, if you are someone listening to this and you have trolled people, like it's just not cool behavior. It's just gross and it's not needed. And I do feel bad for him that he received so much, you know, vitriol, and it was all over the world. But I just hope that he is always honest about the way that he had to deal with these things. Cause not being totally transparent about that and manipulating it is really gross. So
yeah. I mean, I took him at face value for what he said, especially because I think the contributing factor was the death of his best friend Ali.
Yeah.
And to have that happen in the middle of all of this hatred being piled on at you and someone that you actually lean on and is part of your support system being gone, I can't, you know, and then you having to grapple with the grief on top of all of this craziness, I think is really difficult. I wish he did reach out to Lisa, you know, because Lisa was like, please promise me if you ever get these sorts of thoughts to reach out. And it's interesting that he didn't reach out to Lisa or I think Schwartz. I don't know who, because Schwartz mentioned, like, I heard from other people that he was starting to feel suicidal. And that's just very worrisome because he acts like Schwartz is his best friend and, you know, almost like a brother type figure to him. I hope he got like the help that he needs. It doesn't take away from what he did. But also,
no one deserves to be. Yeah. Despite him doing bad things and being a narcissist and a manipulative human, like no one deserves to be in that space. So like my heart does go out to him. Like I hope that he's getting help and taking it seriously.
I agree. I worry that Ariana is now going to feel a lot of backlash because people are getting frustrated with her for not getting over it quick enough. And, you know, she is setting boundaries up and all of that. And I think the hard part for us is that going back to Potomac, like they're on a show. And I understand someone has crossed you in a way they should not ever cross you. And in real life, you would never see them again. But you're on this show right now. And to make the show happen, you have to be around each other at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it messes with the show. And I get like Ariana's point of view. She's like, why do I have to be the one to leave? You know, she's right. But I do worry about the fan backlash against her. I don't want her to, I don't know. I don't think anyone deserves the kind of backlash that Vanderpump fans give to the cast members.
No one deserves backlash, period. These people aren't a reality show. They're meant to be bad people. Like they're meant to do fucked up stuff. That's why you watch this freaking show.
I don't even think they're like bad people. Like people do effed up stuff all the time to each other. Like if you read advice columns and stuff, like the things people do to their family members, to their friends, like we are as the humankind can be so cruel, but we feel like this vigilante sort of like, oh, I'm going to make him pay for what he did. It's my job to do that. It's such a unhealthy thing. And I hope that the fans just take a chill pill for a little bit.
Agreed.
Can we go back to the Sir Alley? Because iconic.
Anytime you want, I'm always welcome to be there.
I love the Sir Alley. And it was just perfect that's where the conversation between Sandoval and Sheena happened. Mm-hmm. I was glad that Sheena stood her ground and how she felt. But what do you think, again, about what Sheena did? Because I thought Tom Sandoval made some good points. Like, I get that you were mad at me, but then you had podcast after podcast after podcast with all these guests, like, unearthing more salacious things. You know, like, at what point were you contributing to the trolling?
Oh, she completely contributed to it. I'm team him, actually, on that argument. Yeah. As someone who said that you're mourning our friendship and you're in this sadness about me, you're willing to just like trash me around every corner. So I am team him on that. One thing about that whole scene that made me laugh, I don't know if you noticed this. Sheena says, I'm going to go run to the restroom. Okay. So she gets up and she happens to walk past Tom's table. And then Tom is like, Tom sees her and is like, oh my God, like, can we talk? Happenstance, right? And then he's like, yes, let's meet in the Sir Alley. I'm running the restroom. And then we get them in the alley, they talk, and then she gets in an Uber and goes home. The way that plays out is essentially as if your friend got up to go to the restroom and never came back.
Oh, it's my
obviously
God.
Obviously, it's edited. It was edited But I was like, wait, she said that she was going to the restroom. She's been gone forever. And she now is in the car heading home.
Oh, my God. I totally missed that. That is so funny.
The whole time she was peeing.
Do you think Sheena and Katie are they meant to be friends?
No, I don't think Katie wants to be friends with anyone that she films with.
Oh, I think she does. I think she wants to be friends with Ariana and Lala.
But I don't think Ariana and her are like soul sisters. Like, I don't think they're like, I think they've gone through so much together and I think they'll always be fond of each other in that way. But like, I don't think they're selling them to us as if they are like besties, and it's like they just don't give off besties to me.
I don't think they're besties, but like are going in business together. I think they very much respect one another. And Katie, I mean, her closest friends are off the show now. I mean, Stassi and Dana, who she has the podcast with, like those are her people. What I find interesting, do you watch the after show?
No, but I've heard the after show has been good.
It's really good. And it's almost as if you can't understand the show without the after show, because there's so many explanations that they don't cut them off. They let them talk. So you hear things that you probably wouldn't otherwise hear. And one really interesting thing that happened was they're talking about, is Ariana the queen of the group? And, you know, you've got Lala saying, yeah, she is. She deserves it. Like, there's always been like kind of a rotating queen, whatever. She's like, I always think I'm queen in my head. But then you've got Sheena saying, I'm never queen. Of course, it's never me. And it's like, it totally was you season three when you got married and you were bridezilla.
The show was about you in season one.
Yes.
Like, you were the reason for the show. So you've been queen before, Sheena.
And then she says, well, you know, Ariana doesn't respond to as many texts anymore. I don't hear from her as much. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the kind of stuff I want to hear, which is what's actually going on with all of your friendships? Who are you friends with just for the show? And who are you actual friends with? And friendships change. And I'm interested in watching that dynamic shift.
I agree. I do think that's interesting. And we also forget that Sheena and Ariana are like childhood friends.
Wait, they are?
Yeah, they like when Sheena brought Ariana on the show, they were like, Ariana and I like both grew up together, right? I'm pretty sure.
Ariana grew up in Florida.
But I thought that she knew, or maybe they're not childhood friends, but she's known Sheena like longer than anyone there, right? Like
even they longer than Sandoval? Together in,
yeah. Like I'm pretty sure. Oh, because if you remember, like on Ariana's first season, like Sheena's always like, "That's my girl." Like we go way back. Like like she knows her family, and like I don't know if they were like early West Hollywood friends or like. But she was a part of her like early. I'm pretty sure she's like one of her earliest friends in the West Hollywood world when she was living there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because
I know
because
Ariana,
if you remember in the early seasons, there was so much drama when Ariana got with Tom because Sheena was like, "You're my friend. I've known you for so long. I don't like Tom for you."
Yeah,
and she like was caught saying that to. Yes. Her mom, and then Ariana's like, you know, I have a good relationship with your mom. Like, I don't want your mom. Like, there's like older stuff with them.
Yes, yes, it does go back really far.
But that's interesting to me that they're in this place now when that's where they've been. So.
Well, Sheena also is someone who gets very upset when people don't text her back. We've learned that from her relationship with Stassi and Katie, and I think she just texts too much, like for the average person. And yeah. Also, Ariana's busy, like she's on Broadway. You know, there's just a lot happening that she might not be able to get back to everything. But anyways, it's just very interesting to watch. We have to wrap up soon. But I guess any sort of kind of final thoughts about this episode, this season, the dynamics? Are you excited to go to Wolf?
I'm interested to see... the Tahoe stuff play out. I'm interested to see how this weird dog storyline is going to start to play out. I think my biggest critique of this season is I wish Raquel was there.
Yes. Yes.
We're not going to have the conversations we want to have without her there, unfortunately. So I think that's just like my big takeaway of this season. The missing part for me is Rachel.
I agree. She deserves to be able to be heard. And I mean, now she's on a podcast, but I don't know how well that's serving her. It's kind of like either be on the show and stay in this world or leave the world for your own well-being. But this sort of I'm going to be in the world, but not on the show, I feel like is actually not great for her mental health. But I mean, what do I know?
Yeah, I think she should not. Mental health, she should never have done the podcast or the show.
Don't go on TV. Don't meet James Kennedy.
I would say that would be probably the kind of like the first step in protecting your mental health.
All right, Tom, tell everyone where they can find your podcast with Kix, where they can find you on social media and anything else you want to plug.
Yeah, you can follow me at the Tom Hamlet on Instagram. The podcast Instagram is Dumpster Dive Pod. The podcast is called Dumpster Dive. We cover Bravo shows, as well as formative shows that made us love reality television. You can also follow us at TikTok on the number 2 Dumpster Divas. We do a lot of reaction videos to old trailers of Housewives and non-Bravo related stuff. So check us out there.
Oh, you guys are so fun. I hope to see you in a couple months when I'm up in New York.
Yes, please. I would love it.
Take care.
Bye.